Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
So are you ready to get into the Word?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk with you this morning, just for a few minutes, about the idea of, have you seen the bulletin? Lord, I was thinking. Don't we want to negotiate with God? Have you ever experienced a time in your life where you really didn't like the will of the Father, or you didn't like how it was being played out in your life? In fact, sometimes it just stinks. It really appears to reek this way. I don't like it this way. How many of you have ever said, "But Lord, I don't like this"? Well, I did that 3 times this week. In fact, 2 of them were last night. So, Lord, I don't like this. I don't like how you're having this play out. Can't you do a better job than that? I mean, if I were you, I mean, we may not be bold enough to actually say those words, but we sure do want to negotiate with God, don't we? We do. And sometimes even our children want to try and negotiate with us as kind of an example. I have a great video that I want to show you today. Before we play it, don't play it yet. Here's what you got to know. His mother's name is Linda. And he's on a first-name basis, he thinks, with Linda. You get the point here, okay? He's on a first-name base, you know, with Mom, the authority in his life, or at least in the room at the time, for certainly, you know, she's in his life. But he decides he knows what's best. Now, if you've ever seen this clip, enjoy it again. If you've never seen it, you're about to be thoroughly entertained, and at the same time, it is a very scary place to be when you're trying to negotiate with authority over us. Okay, let's play that video.
Like, I do this all the time. And if I go out at the house with the door, Matthew has his toy, and then Matthew has all his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Linda, listen. Listen.
Okay, what?
Like, everything they do at this house, you can trust everything at Grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
Linda, but listen to me. Look it. If we do something, if you get that out, that birthday off, you're going to break it.
Okay. But I'm asking, I'm letting you know that you cannot, no, I'm, you're not listening to me. Listen to me now.
Listen to me
now. No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask Grandma. Didn't you?
Linda, lick it. If we do something without this, if we get closer, you can't even get them. You can burn your butt.
What's going to burn your butt? You and Kevin don't listen. So I have to give both of you guys pawpaws in your butt.
But Grandpa's going to give me pawpaws in your butt.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
I have to. You don't want me to hit Kevin, or you don't want me to spank you?
No.
Why?
Because anybody wants to spank me.
Then I have to spank Kevin.
But he's my little papa.
He's your little pop-ups, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, look at this.
That's good enough. That's all I can take of that. That's all I can take. But don't you think that's how God sees us at times? But Lord, listen to me. Listen to me, Lord. Now, Lord, how many times have we, now we don't do it that obnoxiously. I hope you're not that blatant But see, God still sees through our smooth, mature way of coming before Him to tell Him the best way things should be. You see, we get to thinking. When God gives instruction, I said this last week, our greatest enemy is between our ears. We start thinking. We do. One of the earliest examples of man thinking isn't too far into God's Word. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. It's not a hard example to find where man starts thinking of what's really probably the better way. And it's chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3. And if you're in the back, you scurry in for a chapter here. It's chapter 3, verse 1. And if you can jump in with it, that's great. So it's Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. If you are using your telephones, just look up the whole chapter and scroll down as I go. And it goes like this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? I want you to underline that verse, that portion of verse in your Bible, if you actually have a hand printed or a printed Bible. I want you to underline that because that sentence there, that question is a question that if you ever hear it in your subconscious, did God really mean I couldn't do that? Just understand that did not come from the Father. Learn who your Father's voice is. Learn the things your Father's voice would say, because you'll always know whose voice it is. If it's a voice that questions the authority of God, do you get it? If it's a voice that questions the authority over your life, does God have the right to tell me what to do? Now, we've talked about that in the past, but this is a whole, just listen to when man started thinking here. Here we go. Did God really say, now the thought has been placed in the mind of the human, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. And here is the second time that the enemy plants a thought in the mind, and you got to know who the voice is when any time there's a voice that says, I'm questioning the authority or the right for God to tell you what to do. Here you go. This is the enemy. You will not surely die. In other words, God is a liar. And His authority cannot be trusted. You see, somewhere in this little guy is a thing that's built into him as a human being that says, I want what I want. And I know how to get what I want. And I can justify how I can get what I want. Because I know what ultimately is right for me. It's planted in every human being, the ability to rebel against God's word. He says, you will not touch it. You will not die. You will not surely die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of what when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And so I'm going to jump on down here I'll go ahead. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for, here we go. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. In other words, when the woman started thinking. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that she's a woman, so don't go there. Don't anybody go home and misquote me and take this out of context. I'm talking about a human being. God gave instruction. Temptation came, and then we start thinking. Are you getting the point? When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable. How would it be desirable if she hadn't started considering what benefits it might bring? So the woman started thinking. She said it was pleasing, it was desirable for gaining wisdom. She took, ate, and she ate some. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate of it. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made the coverings for them. Now I'm not going to go into all of the detail of the scripture, but you know, the second thing they started doing was realizing, they started thinking, oh, we are now naked. We're slightly left transparent here. We need to make sure we cover, I don't know, though I'm going to be honest with you, all of my life I've wondered why there's nobody else in the garden. But God. God created them naked. But there was something about the awareness of the fallen state that brought them to the place that they had to, you see, it's the nature of man. Sin and cover. Sin and cover. Sin, here's the next step. Sin, cover it, and carry it. Sin, and then cover it, and then carry it. And it's called guilt. It's called shame. And we do that as human beings. We just do that. And so they did. And so they started reasoning how they were going to have this conversation with God. And I won't go into all of that. But the whole idea that God gave instruction, he gave very specific instruction to Adam and to Eve. And he said, this is what you, I give you all of this. How many of you know the Bible says that his burden is not light? I mean, it's not heavy. His burden is light. His burden is light. The things he gives us is so much more than he requires of us not to do. Think about this. The freedom that he gives us. Here, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you everything. Just don't eat of that fruit. And we start thinking. Now, I want to take you real quick and turn in your Bibles to Genesis 39. I want to take you to an example that I've read to you before of someone who... Actually, listen to the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. It goes like this. Now, Joseph, who had been taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. And just so you know, I'm not going to read all the details of it, but the favor was with Joseph. God's word says, goes on to say, the favor of God was with Joseph. Wherever he went, the favor of God was with Joseph. Why? Because Joseph obeyed God's commands. It's a very simple process. Joseph was faithful to the things of God, to the things God had given him charge over. Joseph was faithful to the gifts that God had given to him. He was faithful to use them in a way that would honor God. He immediately, wherever Joseph went, favor came. And so Potiphar realized upon buying Joseph that Joseph was now in his service. And do you know, he noticed something about Joseph. Whatever Joseph touched, it turned to gold. I don't mean literal gold, but it turned prosperous. Whatever Joseph touched, it was blessed. Are you all awake? Whatever Joseph would do, he did in a way that honored God, and God's presence and blessing and anointing was on Joseph. And so whatever Joseph did, even though he's a slave, Joseph turned everything God did through Joseph to gold. It was priceless. And so Potiphar says, I'm not dumb here. I got a good thing in my household. I'm going to make him overseer of all of my wealth. And I mean, give him everything. I'm giving him everything. In fact, there's only one thing. Who's this sound like the story I just read? I'm giving you everything except one thing. You cannot touch my wife. That's the fruit you can't have. You get the same picture? It's the same kind of a scenario. You got everything. You have authority. Do you realize how much authority you have? Do you realize how much authority you have in the name of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of the living God anointing you to actually lay hands on people and pray healing into existence? Do you know the authority that you have to actually transform someone's life by speaking the word into them, by speaking hope into them, by speaking words of wisdom into them? Do you realize the authority that you have? How many times I can't tell you through the years, but I've had more individuals that would walk up and actually, you know, Gina looks intimidating. I mean, I think that's as ridiculous a statement as you're going to get. We were in a jewelry store one time, and this guy, the jeweler, remember that? The jeweler down off of Jungerman. But anyway, he's sitting there talking to me, and he looks at Gina and he says, you intimidate me. And he starts confessing. You know, I know you guys are Christians, and I haven't really lived a life, you know, that I should be living. But when you walked in, this is what he said. When you walked in, I mean, I, you intimidate me because there's something about you. Now, doesn't she look intimidating? I'm sitting there going, brother, if you only knew. That's my woman. And he told her, he said, now you're beautiful. And I thought, okay, you're getting close. Getting close to aggravating me. He said, but no, there's something about you. I don't really. And he really was stupid. Sorry, moms, I'm sorry. I said the S word in church. I am so sorry. But he went dumb. Is that a bad one too? He went dumb. He didn't know what to say because there was something about her. Do you know how much authority you have? Because the Spirit of the living God, is that me? Or is that the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of the living God is in you. He actually operates and He lives and He takes up residence in you and He speaks through you. All of a sudden you're saying things to people that is like, where'd that come from? Well, many of you know who it is now because you've actually heard the voice of the Father enough times and you speak with authority. What was it about the two disciples? We can tell you've been keeping company with Jesus. Standing before the Sanhedrin. These are fishermen. These are common men. And he says that. Sanhedrin says that. We can tell you're common men, but, you know, in other words, you didn't go to college. Might not have gone to high school. Probably didn't even get through elementary school, but you do smell like fish. You're just common people. But you speak with authority. It is obvious that you have been keeping the company of Jesus. And there was something about Joseph, coming back to the story, there was something about Joseph that he carried authority. And so Potiphar puts him into a place of authority and he says, all I have is yours, except my wife. Now she was a beautiful woman, but the Bible says he was a handsome dude. Check it out. He was a handsome guy. He's probably the most handsome in all of Potiphar's household, in all of his employees, in all of his management levels. Joseph was a stud. Because his wife really was attracted to Joseph. I'm talking, she wanted him bad. Now, is this being recorded? She wanted him bad. She wanted him real bad. And you know what? Joseph was a godly man. He knew what God had said and he knew what the man over him, Potiphar, had said, you cannot have. You cannot touch my wife. That's all what I almost said to the jeweler. Don't go any further than she's pretty, you know, it's okay. But all of a sudden, we know the story. If you've not read it, read the whole the chapter in 39 there, the entire Genesis chapter 39. I love the story. One of my favorite stories. Here's Joseph. She comes into his he comes into her presence and there's nobody else in the house. You know the story? Yeah. There's no one else in the house and the most powerful woman who could give you everything. Here's the delusional thought here. She has access to Potiphar's ear. She's the most powerful woman in the land. This is just think this thing through here. And she's hot. She's a beautiful girl. This could be, you know what? He didn't go there. Do you know what's missing in the story there? He didn't start thinking. The Bible says when she grabbed him, he fled and left his cloak behind him and ran out half naked. Why did she do that? Why did he do that? Because he didn't stand around and negotiate with what God had told him he was to be as a godly man. He ran from that room. Why? Because here's the thing. Eve, when the enemy placed the thought in her mind, started thinking. Eve, now get this, Adam and Eve, when the thought came to them, they started thinking. And then they started reasoning and negotiating with each other that, hey, it's going to bring wisdom. It's good. They started thinking. The difference is Joseph did his thinking before he got to the room. Joseph had a plan. I've said this to you before. Joseph had a plan of obedience. If she ever touches me, because he saw how she looked at him. He's not dumb here. Other women have flirted with him. If he's that good looking and that studly, don't you know that other women have flirted with him? I mean, I think we all know that. Now, women or guys certainly flirt with girls. Some of you know that men flirt with you. And so Joseph had this breakthrough moment before he ever got into Potiphar's wife's presence. He had this breakthrough moment. His decision was made before he walked into the room. If she ever touches me, I'm going to run. I don't know where I'm going, and I may be half undressed, but I'm going to run. Because you see, he'd already done his thinking before. He'd already made his decision before. The Bible says in Psalms 119, it said, I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen to that. I hide my word, your word rather, in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, I'm always meditating on your promises. I'm always meditating on your commands. I'm always meditating on those promises that you gave me for a sister. I'm always meditating on the things you've told me to do in my part of loving on someone. I'm always meditating on what your word, who your word says I am. I am a person of authority. I am a person that's bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been bought, paid for, I've been redeemed, I've been set free, and he called my name and I came out of the grave. And when I came out of the grave, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's who I am. I meditate on that night and day. Now how can I, if I'm meditating on it night and day, he has my entire attention. If I am always focused on, as Joseph was, pleasing the Father, how do I have time to sin against God? See, the problem is we all do it. We all start thinking. We start thinking and we reason and we justify. This isn't fair to me. I should not have to be going through this. That's true. That there is no doubt in many cases that is absolutely the truth. But that's when you stand there and you lift your hands and you begin to worship into the presence of God. When you don't understand what you're going through, when you don't understand how you got where you're at, when you don't understand why the attack has to be this, and my family feels the attack, my whole family's feeling the attack, this whole thing is wrong. It's at every level it feels wrong. But God, you are right. But Father, you are right. In all things, I will glorify you. In all things, I want to please you. In fact, get into God's word. If you know what the battle is, get into God's word. Because what's the word say in 2 Chronicles? The battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He's going out and he's fighting on your behalf. All we have to do, seriously. Do you remember when Moses had his arms raised and Aaron and her, Moses would get tired. His arms would drop. The battle's going on. Every time his arms dropped, the battle turned against Israel. Do you remember that? But every time Aaron would lift his hands up and his hands would be lifted towards heaven, the battle turned back to the favor of the people of Israel, God's people. And I want to tell you something. There's times where the only way you'll get through something is to worship your way through the battle and let God do the fighting for you. In the name of Jesus, I would simply ask you this. When God gives instruction, please don't think about it. When God gives instruction, have your mind already made up just the same as Joseph did. Just the same as Joseph did. Can I tell you something, what's wrong, in my opinion? Just my thought. What's wrong with that video that I just showed you is the woman didn't know she was in charge. Now, I know she's videoing it, and I know that she was enjoying the fact that it was cute. I'm going to tell you that's one of the cutest things. But if that is left unchecked in us with God, if that type of attitude is left up, but God, listen to me, God. Come on, God, come on. If that attitude is left unchecked, and the truth is, I just think that that's a very dangerous place to be. Not only as a child, but as a parent, by the way. As a parent. So, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would give us in this new year, as we go into this new year, give us this bold declaration in your presence of who we are. This bold declaration that I am bought and I am paid for. I am the child of the living God. I've been set free. I've been called out of a grave and I have been unwrapped from grave clothes. I don't have to live under that stuff anymore. I don't have to live in that manner anymore. I don't have to have those thought processes anymore. I actually can have the thoughts of the Spirit of the living God, because you live and you abide within me. You move within me. Everything that you want to say, you can say into me. You can speak into my spirit, because I am available to you, because I am a God man, or I am a God woman. I am declaring right now, I am a God man, or I am a God woman. In your presence today, I accept nothing less than that. And when you give a command, Father, I will decide today that it is instant obedience, just the same as it was with Joseph. It is instant obedience. Instant obedience. Instant obedience. I'm not going to sit around and negotiate with it, take it out on a few dates and see how that thing works out in my mind. I'm not going to ponder it in my mind and see if there's any benefits to me not doing it God's way. I know that you give me so much more if I do it your way, and I am protected by your spirit. The same as Joseph was protected, even though he was accused by the woman. You protected Joseph and raised him up again. You protected Joseph even in prison and raised him up again. Because you see, Joseph's your man. Because he's obedient. Teach us to hide your word in our hearts, that we may not sin against you. In Jesus' name, every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand, guys.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.